I'm going to talk this morning about money, about wisdom and money. And what might we learn from God, from Jesus about that? Before I do, I want to make sure everyone knows there's an insert in the bulletin. I don't know if everybody saw that, but there's a daily reading, daily devotional that we invite you to do this week as we make our way through this three-week sermon series. And there's also some notes on the other side if you want to jot down some ideas or things that I say or things that God says to you during this message. Let's pause and have a moment of prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that this message is not my message. That these are not my words. These are not my points. Lord, but this message may come from you. That the words that I use are your words. And that each and every one of us hears exactly what we need to hear. Pray this in your name. Amen. The title of the sermon is Wisdom in Finance. And it is part of our Enough series, Discovering Joy Through Simplicity and Generosity. And wisdom and finance, those two things seem to go together, don't they? They make sense. Wisdom and finance, to use our money well, to have a healthy understanding of money or finance, it takes wisdom. The question is, what wisdom? From where do we derive our wisdom? From God or from the world? Here's a couple of scriptures that I have for us to get us started this morning. First one is from Proverbs 21. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to want. That's fairly wise. Absolutely, we can buy that. And then the other one from Proverbs 21. Precious treasure remains in the house of the wise, but the fool devours it. A little bit tougher. But these are written, I think, like maybe 2,500 years ago by Solomon. We understand Solomon to be the wisest person ever because he wanted wisdom. He asked God for wisdom. God said, you can have anything. He wanted wisdom so that he could do his job as king, the best of his ability, according to God's will. There is so much wisdom in the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. In fact, Jesus talks about money, personal finance, 2,500 times in the New Testament. There are 2,500 verses to talk about that. I say it's pretty important. Tim mentioned that he took Crown, and he's actually led a Crown group since then. I took Crown years ago, the same course, and I've taught it many times. I taught it actually when I was at seminary, and I'm going to teach, basically it's not Crown, it's called Compass now. It's a kind of a reinvention of Crown, but it's the same material led by the same person who wrote the original material, and I'm going to do that next spring. So I encourage you to sign up for that, or maybe to invite folks that you think might be able to benefit from that. But it's all about how to use money God's way. And that is so tough, isn't it, in this world? Because we are bombarded every single day by ads, flashy ads, commercials, magazine articles, billboards, TV commercials, pop-up ads on our computer. It's almost ridiculous. But everybody out there wants to tell us how to spend our money. And they tell us that if you spend your money on this, that, or the other, you'll be happy, you'll be healthy, you'll be, fulfilled, you'll have everything you could possibly need. And we often buy into that, don't we? We just seem to buy into that. But yet we know that Jesus is not lying to us. He wants us to use our money in a way that honors him. And we want to do that, don't we? Does anyone ever feel like this when they sit down to write their, pay their bills during the month? Or maybe you feel like this sometimes when you go to fill out your commitment card for your grateful giving campaign at the church? Or maybe you feel like this when you're trying to figure out, how in the world am I going to send my kids to college? I think all of us have felt like this at one point or another. I'd rather feel like this when it's time to sit down and pay my bills. And we're going to talk about that. How can we approach it differently? Because we all are prodigal sons, aren't we? We all know the story of the prodigal son, don't we? The story of a young man who asked for an inheritance from his father early so that he can go off in the world and live in crazy living and makes bad choices. But then the part of the story that we love is that the father, when he sees the son coming back after the son has nothing, runs out and welcomes him home. It's a picture of heaven. Jesus welcoming each and every one of us home who at one point or another have wandered away. When we come back, the Father's right there, right? Here's the verse that tells us of the way that this young man approached life. It says, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me. So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country. And he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. He was a prodigal son. We understand that the prodigal son was welcomed back from the father after he had drifted away. But do you know that the word prodigal does not mean one who wanders? It literally means one who wastes money. Each and every one of us wastes money, don't we? Think about it. But we don't always realize, we don't go out to say, I'm going to waste as much money as I can today. That's not usually our goal. We don't set out with that mentality. I mean, maybe some of us do. But we go out, we're just living our life here in America. Most of us have more than we could possibly need or even desire. And it just kind of happens, doesn't it? We take the mindset of the prodigal son. We want to indulge. We want to consume. We want to get what looks good to us. Participate in things that satisfy a craving or a desire. And the prodigal son did that, and then he ended up with nothing. We often live our lives like we're just flushing money down a toilet, and almost mindlessly. Don't we? I mean, one of the biggest money makers, there's many ways we waste money, but I'm going to lift up a couple. First money waster is impulse buying. Does anybody else do this? You go to the store, you know, your wife says, you know, the kids need milk for their cereal tomorrow morning, so you need to stop on your way home from work and get a gallon of milk. So you stop at Kroger's, you go into the store, and immediately you see a shiny display of chocolates. Oh, that looks good. Man, they're on sale. I got to get one. You know, the kids will like that. Really, you think you want them, right? And you go down the aisle towards the milk, and oh wait, ice cream! I love ice cream. I'm going to get some of that. The kids will literally love that for dinner. And then you come around, and you get to the milk, and you get a gallon of milk, and then you're coming back towards the cash register, and you stop, and you see the magazine catches your eye. The cover is a celebrity that you really admire. So you stop and you pick it up and you're like, oh yeah, I'll get this too. And then you're going on, you come back around the store and you're making your way towards the aisle, and then you see a bag of chips and some salsa. Oh man, that really sounds good. Because you skipped lunch, you didn't eat lunch, so you're hungry. You haven't made it home to eat, so you're thinking with your stomach at this point. And then finally you've got all this stuff, you get to the cash register, you check out, and you've got 15 items. You went in for a gallon of milk, and now you've spent $50. You know, for most of us, $20 here, $40 there is not a big deal, right? We usually can afford that. I mean, it's not something that we feel like we need to account for, but it adds up, doesn't it? $20 here, $40 there. What are we wasting money on? Are the things that we buy impulsively, do they really add that much value to our life? Or should we instead be mindful of what we're putting in our shopping cart or what we're spending money on? It even happens online, doesn't it? You're shopping, you know, you're trying to write the report or balance the family budget or do something productive, and then up pops on your email an ad for your favorite store. They got a sale going on. So you get intrigued. You go over. Oh yeah, I've been wanting one of those. Oh, it's 20% off. Oh, click, gotta buy it. How many times does that happen? Do we really need it? Is it going to add value to our life? Or is there something else that we could use that money for? Some of the economists in the room will understand the concept of opportunity cost. If you buy this, then you can't buy this. It's the way it works, right? We always get a choice. What are we spending our money on? And what are we wasting our money on? Another thing that we often waste our money on is eating out. How many of you plan to go get lunch after the service today? I'm not saying you shouldn't go get lunch. You got to eat, right? And for us, it's a time to fellowship with friends and loved ones. But how often do we eat out? How often do we go down the road to the restaurant or just because it's convenient, because it's easier? We have so many options. There are so many restaurants in this town. I mean, everything. Any type of food from around the world, any type of budget, anything you want, it's there within 5-10 minute drive. It's too easy. So easy, we don't even think about it. My wife and I, we both work full-time jobs. We have 3 little kids. Sometimes it's easier just to swing by the store and pick up some sandwiches on the way home. Or order, even get out the app on your phone and order a pizza. It's that easy. But are we mindful? How many times do we eat out a week, a month? 4 or 5 times, probably, the average family? Could we save that? Could we be intentional? Pack a lunch to take to the office. Cook something at home. Instead of spending 50, 60 bucks every time you go out, cook a meal at home for 20 bucks. What could we do that extra $40? What other part of our life could that extra money impact? These are important questions. Here's a couple more scriptures. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth. And then, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Wow, that is some truth right there. That's a tough one, isn't it? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What does your bank statement say about where your heart is? Is your heart like most, would it indicate, as most Americans, that your heart is on consumption and making life comfortable or convenient for yourself? Those are tough questions. But a really tough question, which is vital, is what is your life purpose? That really is the question. We don't want to waste money, do we? We don't want to waste money. We want to use our money to glorify God, right? We want to use our money as the best way possible. We want to provide for our family and the needs of our community. We want to do that. But you know what? It doesn't just happen. What is your life purpose? What has God inspired you to do? Who has God inspired you or called you or motivated you to impact in this world? How has God called you to lead? What has God called you to build in this world? Who has God called you to support? Each and every one of us has something. Something for which we are designed by God to do. A special heart for a particular ministry. A particular gift or talent or ability to impact a life in a way that only we can. In a way that only God can through us. But you know what? It usually takes money, doesn't it? There has to be some sort of financial support for whatever it is that God calls us to do. And when we ask that question, what is my life purpose? What is it that God wants me to be doing right now? And then we have to ask ourselves, is the way I'm spending my money, is the way I'm saving my money, or not saving, is the way I approach my finances line up with that purpose? Is my approach to money, the way I make money, the way I spend money, does that help me accomplish that purpose that God has for me? Or doesn't it? We don't know until we ask the question and give it some prayerful thought. If God has something for us to do, it's different for each and every one of us. It may be big, it may be so huge, you know, build a new ministry or fund a huge project for Christ, or who knows what it would be. Or it might be very simple. You know, support the widow down the road whose husband died and she now has no pension or whatever. You know, whatever you're called to do by God, how is the way you spend, save, earn money right now either supporting that effort or making it more difficult for you to accomplish that effort? That's a vital question. Each and every one of us needs to ask that. And we all, I mean, I'm assuming that we all in this room want to do what God wants us to do, right? We all want to make a difference in the world. We all want to spend our lives well, accomplishing that purpose, that God-given purpose, with using our God-given talents and abilities. But it doesn't just happen. I have six principles that I'd like to go over. And we actually have magnets for you. So on your way out, one of the ushers will give you a magnet. Go and put it on your fridge. Read them. Meditate on those. Keep those in front of your awareness. But let's go through them. First one, pay your tithe and offering first. If you give God the first fruits, then you can trust that God will help you live on the other 90%. If we're faithful to give God what he needs us to give, God doesn't need our money, but if we're faithful to give to God what he wants us to give, then he was faithful to make sure the 90% is enough. Create a budget and track your expenses. How many of us do this? That's one of the biggest things I got out of Crown and other programs like that. You know, Financial Peace with Dave Ramsey. There's others. Create a budget and track your expenses. If you don't tell your money where to go, you don't know where it went. If you fail to plan, then you're basically planning to fail. Track your expenses so you know where your money goes. Create a budget so you decide ahead of time what you're going to spend your money on, so that you can spend money on the things that are most important. You know, funding your grandchild's college education is an important goal, life goal for you. It's going to be hard to do that unless you plan to save. And if you end up spending that money on Starbucks and, you know, burgers or whatever, you're grandchild might be a little disappointed. Simplify your lifestyle. Live below your means. That is such an un-American concept, living below your means. Do you know that Americans typically live about 105% of our means, average? Whatever we make, we live about 5% above that. How do we do that? We do that with debt, basically. Credit cards. You know, simplify your life. All the stuff that we have and that we accumulate and that we that take up our time and effort and energy and mental focus are not necessary. If we simplify our lifestyle, live below our means, it frees up capacity to do something worthy of God. Establish an emergency fund. This is a Dave Ramsey thing. Save that for that emergency, because there's going to be an emergency, right? The problem with the prodigal son is he spent everything he had. His dad had this property. He could have kept on, hold on to that property and raised crops or raised flocks on this property, and it would have provided an income for him for his whole life. He got greedy, decided to spend it all, and then a famine came, and he didn't have money to even buy a piece of bread. Stuff happens, right? Air conditioner goes out. There's a medical expense, something. That emergency fund is a little bit of a protection. Pay off your credit cards. Use cash debit cards for purchases. Use credit wisely. Another verse from Proverbs says that the borrower is slave to the lender. That's not a position I want to be in. I don't want to be a slave to anyone. Use credit cards wisely and pay them off. When you don't have debt, and many of you, I suspect, do not have debt, gives you a sense of freedom, right? Gives you a sense of nimbleness. You can more easily and quickly respond to a request from God. And practice long-term savings and investing habits. Save for the future. Sock it away, because you never know what's going to happen. If you don't have it, you can't spend it. And I'm not talking about spending it on a car or a yacht or anything like that. If you don't have money, you can't use it to help anyone. John Wesley says, and John Wesley is kind of an interesting case. We all know who John Wesley is, right? Founder of the Methodist Church. He, in his first starting out as a priest, I think he made like 35 whatever pounds a month, and he lived on 35 pounds a month, you know, less a tithe, a standard tithe. And then a year later, he made 35 pounds, you know, made about 35 pounds. As the years went on, he kept living on 35 pounds a year. And when he was successful in publishing lots of books and materials, his income went up to like 1,500 pounds a year. He kept living on 35 pounds a year his whole life, because he knew that if he was going to be able to do God's will, he had to, God gave him resources for that. John Wesley famously said, earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can. Really, that's why we earn. That's why we save, right? We got to take care of our families. We got to take care of our loved ones. But we get to give. The more we make, the more we save, the less we spend, the more we can give, and the bigger impact we can have. That's powerful. We all have an opportunity to make an impact in the world, to do God's will. How do we spend our money? How do we set our budget? How do we manage our finances so that we are most best equipped, best positioned to be able to accomplish that for God? That's an amazing challenge. It's an opportunity. And it's one that I think every one of us can embrace. Because we don't get to do that just as individual families. We get to do that as the body of Christ, supporting each other and encouraging each other. That's an amazing opportunity, isn't it? Use our money to change the world. That is so un-American, but that's what we get to do. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you are an awesome and amazing God. You are so generous. You have blessed us with so much. Lord, help us to use those gifts, to use those resources for your glory, to have the biggest impact we can have. Help each one of us understand that more clearly. And may we be faithful to that call. Pray this in your name. Amen.